Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, and I forgot about the little Blog Talk Radio things that were talked over me. See, we're kind of rookies at this again. I was going to say, it's been a while since we've done this.
Oh, gosh. I don't even know. Like 3 years? Four? All Elite, I guess. So 4 years.
Definitely.
Or so?
Yeah, well, it would have been the last time we did something live like this where we could take phone calls. It would have been it would have been probably the last Impact that we did live.
You're probably right. Yes. So, yeah, it has been a long time. So hopefully we're not too rusty. Hopefully we still have good analysis.
Yeah, I think we'll be okay. Like, I feel pretty good about where we're at, I think. Right?
Yeah, I think so. We'll have fun.
We always do that. So one of the things that I want to get to right off the bat is the $5 challenges, the very popular $5 challenges. We're going to continue to do those. However, I think we decided today it's going to be easier if people email those. So even if you do give us a call, it will be easier in the long run if we take all of those by email so we don't clog up too much of the phone lines. So we could rip through all the phone calls first and then do the $5 challenges at the end of the show, which is how we normally do it, just in emails.
Yeah, because a while ago we got some feedback that it was didn't make a lot of sense to put all the $5 challenges like in between the questions, so we'll save them till the end. So if you don't want to be a part of it, you can, you know, tune out and do something else. But, yeah, it should help with the overall flow of the show, we think.
I think so, yeah. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, which, of course, we will talk about. If you want to chime in on the phone line, I don't know how many calls we'll get tonight because this was, you know, announced last week, and then this is the first time we're doing it live. So we may get zero calls tonight, which is fine. It will build up over time, I'm sure. If you're listening to this in the podcast feed, you can listen to us live next week. We're recording Monday nights, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, 6 Pacific, right in the middle of Raw, I know. So if you're sitting down and watching Raw and you want to listen to some AEW talk on the side, you can do that. To give us a call, 515-605-9345. It's the same number. I remember it. 515-605-9345. When you are on hold, hit the number 1. That lets us know that you want to get on the show and you're not just calling in to listen to our beautiful voices. But a lot of topics to talk about tonight from an AEW perspective and more. Let's start first with, did you see the story that broke earlier this afternoon with who was backstage at Monday Night Raw?
No, I did not.
Okay, well, I will read this to you. Again, we're recording this during Raw, so if something big happens and we happen to see it, we'll talk about it. But otherwise, I mean, this is an AEW-related story, though. CM Punk was at Monday Night Raw earlier today, according to PWInsider.com.
What?
Former WWE, I'm just going to read you word for word the report. This is from Mike Johnson. Former WWE and current AEW star CM Punk was backstage for a bit at tonight's WWE Monday Night Raw taping. PW Insider has confirmed. Tonight's taping is being held in his hometown of Chicago, well, Rosemont, Illinois, right outside, at the Allstate Arena, the same venue where Punk defeated John Cena for the WWE title in 2011 at Money in the Bank. There's no word on who Punk was there visiting, but we have heard from several WWE sources that he did briefly see Paul Levesque, which would have been the first time the two have met in person since the day Punk walked out of the company back in 2014. Punk also met with several other WWE talents, but was eventually asked to exit the arena. One WWE source believed it may have been since he was under contract to another company. We are told by the same source that it was Vince McMahon. It was a Vince McMahon call that he leave the venue, and that when he was asked, Punk immediately said his goodbyes and left the building. So it seems like he was just there visiting friends, but it is notable, considering everything that's going on with him and AEW at the moment, and is he coming back, is he not coming back, that he went and – I think it's notable that he went and visited that show today. I also think – and I'm interested in your thoughts on this, that the idea that he was asked to leave because he's under contract to another company is bullshit. Sorry. Because wasn't Ricky Starks just, like, on camera with Cody Rhodes a couple of weeks ago or caught in a photo or something like that?
Yeah, he got caught,
Yeah, so it's not that. It's Vince wanted him to leave if Vince made the call to have him leave, which is fine. But, yeah, he was went to Raw today, so how about that?
That is crazy. No, I just got home a little bit ago, so I've been, you know, checking. I checked throughout the day, but no, I had not seen that happen. I'm very curious how that's going to play out, if that's, like, going to piss off Tony Khan. Is that going to, like, throw a wrench into any, you know, Punk coming back and the potential Saturday show, or I don't know. What do you, I mean, do you think that's going to ruffle some feathers in, on the AEW side?
Yes. How could it not?
Yeah.
But I think that, yes, I think it will ruffle feathers. I also think that they did it on purpose, or he did it on purpose,
yeah,
for sure. So, yeah, really, really, really interesting. Just, again, knowing the dynamics of everything else that's kind of going on the moment with that, interesting timing, to say the least.
Yeah, what the heck is he thinking? It seemed like things had finally kind of smoothed over. And by all reports that we were talking about last week, that he was going to come back, the Saturday show was going to be mainly built around him and his friends and the people that couldn't get along with the other side of the roster. And then he goes and does this. Oh, man.
I mean, I kind of respect it. I kind of respect it, to be honest with you. You know, I think with everything that's kind of been happening and all the leaks that are coming out there, I mean, he knew this was going to get out there. He's not stupid. You know, we can say that he's petty and we can say all this other stuff, but he's not stupid. He knew it was going to get out, that he was there. He hasn't made – here's my thing. Mm-hmm. Even if he was there visiting friends, which is perfectly fine, like other people that are former members of the company have done that in the past, he hasn't done it in 9 years. So why did he do it now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it almost feels like it was there to be like, he did it to prove a point, because why now? Why all of a sudden now? WWE has probably had, you know, it's been 9 years. They've had dozens of shows in Chicago since he was let go, or once he left, whatever the case was. Why exactly was today the day he decided, you know what, I'm going to go visit some buddies. Like, it's with the timing of everything and, Punk looming, but also people kind of still taking shots at him, because it was all that back and forth, and then, you know, even it's all been on social media, but like the Brandon Cutler thing that we talked about last week, and like there's so many things that have been happening. This almost kind of felt like it was done for a purpose. I don't know what that purpose was, because ultimately he was kicked out of the building. So if the purpose was like, hey, Tony, look, dude, I got options. You know, it didn't really work because he was asked to leave. But I don't know. It was just very weird timing.
That is really weird timing, because, like, yeah, the more – I'm sorry, I'm, like, kind of distracted because I'm, like, looking up online and trying to see if, like, any news is broken on that sense. But, like, I mean, the fact that he did that, he could have just – you know, if he wanted to visit some friends, he could have just done it after the show. Been like, hey, let's all meet up at this place. So, yeah, he's obviously trying to make some sort of statement. And, yeah, I'm guessing the meeting, the fact that he met up with Triple H is probably not going to sit well with Tony Khan, given how he kind of feels about Hunter and the way that, you know, that they've tried to kind of, from his perspective, kind of tried to take some of their talent. I know that was an issue. So, yeah, that's crazy that he would do that.
It's really weird. Excuse me. It's really weird. Just the whole timing of it all is what stands out to me. Also, as we are recording this, speaking of Raw, Triple H unveiled the new World Heavyweight Championship tonight. That was his
big week.
So apparently they're splitting the titles again, or I don't know what exactly that means.
Yeah. Don't like it. Don't like it at all.
Let me read this because I'm not watching it. Triple H explains that Roman Reigns will be the undisputed WWE Universal Champion on the brand he is drafted to. The other brand will crown a new World Heavyweight Champion on May 27th at Night of Champions in Saudi Arabia. Awesome. This is John Pollock here. Sort of negates the term undisputed for the former title. Yeah, no kidding. You're not the undisputed Universal Champion when there's also another heavyweight championship. So I guess the fact that they're doing a second title does mean that they're probably going to stick with a pretty hard brand split, right, after the draft?
I mean, they've said they were going to do that many times over the past 20 years, and they've never stuck to it.
We talked about it last week, right? They flip-flop. They go in, like, four-year cycles.
Yeah. I mean, by the end, it just becomes so watered down, and there's never, like, a storyline explanation. And the fact that Vince McMahon is probably going to have a lot of creative say, I imagine that this is, I mean, it's going to be history repeating itself. So it's just, That just seems like a bad call to me, because over the past year, like, it's one of the only years in a long time that Raw's ratings have gone up, SmackDown's ratings have gone up, and I think a big part of that is Roman Reigns, the fact that he's the biggest star in the company, the fact that he's the undisputed champion, and that he feels bigger than everyone else. So you're going to take away some of that if you make two different champions.
I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. So that's some news that was breaking as we were going on the air and as we were on the air. What do you think back to the Punk stuff? The fact that, I mean, the report says they think it may have had something to do with the fact that he's signed to another company, so that's why he was asked to leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's never been. Ricky Starks was just backstage a couple of weeks ago. Who else was it? Wasn't Britt Baker at like an NXT show or something like that when Adam Cole was still with NXT? Is she sitting front row? Was that a thing that happened? Am I imagining that?
I don't recall that. Yeah, it could have been.
Maybe they never showed her, but like if you were looking for her, you could see that she was there. Like he wasn't appearing on camera. He signed to someone else. He can't be here. That makes absolutely zero sense considering other things we know about the company and who has visited in the past. Like it makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
Especially you can say, well, they've never been in a wrestling war the way they are with AEW. But again, like there was AEW talent backstage with Cody like 3-4 weeks ago. So what are we talking about right now?
I wonder who let him in the building. Like who got in contact with him and said like, like it just seems so far-fetched. Like I don't know who he's friends with in the company, but like Kofi Kingston or whoever, if they said like, hey, come on in. I mean, is Kofi really going to want to like put himself in that position to draw like heat for management? Is Punk? I'm just trying to like figure out who thought it would be a good idea to even bring him in. Cause that's, you know, he left the company on WWE's side, like from their point of view, like he left and he kind of like left them high and dry. So, and there was a lawsuit and everything. So yeah, I can imagine him like stopping in unannounced. It probably rubbed them the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah. I would think so for sure. One thing I want to try here, Andrew, before we go on to the next topic, I uploaded some audio into the switchboard, which I just want to make sure it works. Now, again, we're going to hear this later. It's a tune that we all love. I just want to give it one quick play just to see if you can hear it and it actually records and everybody can hear this just to make sure I did it right, because it's been a while since we've done this. But again, this song, it's only 14 seconds and it's worth playing twice.
It's a classic, yeah. Goosebumps.
Loud and clear, right? Good.
Yeah, okay. It sounds good. Yeah.
Good. Did it right. That's good. We'll play that again later on because we have a couple in the emails that we'll get to later on in the show. Again, if you just jumped on, 515-605-9345, give us a call and you hit number one, and that will let us know you want to get on the show, and we will bring you on. A couple of other things. WWE apparently has a hiring freeze, and that it may not be an official hiring freeze. They don't seem to want to say that it's an official hiring freeze, but it seems like there are reports now that everybody knows we're not hiring talent right now. And, again, notable to AEW because I'm willing to bet that's the reason they got Jay White.
Yeah.
Like if Jay White was reportedly talking to WWE, and again, as much as we think, you know, talent, especially with some other reports that were out tonight, which we'll get to in a second, talent should probably want to go to AEW more than WWE from a creative standpoint. WWE still has a lot of money. They can still offer a lot of money, especially now where they're going to be worth even more. And I have to assume that having a hiring freeze in place may have cost them Jay White. It could be not the sole reason, but part of the reason he ended up in Tony Khan's hands.
Oh, I think for sure. And not just him too, like Commander as well was supposedly talking with WWE too. So
That's right. That's another one. Yeah.
Yeah. So they got two like recent notable free agents and White especially is somebody who can be like a main eventer right away. Especially on WWE side, like they could definitely use a few more people in that role. I think it's kind of crazy because basically Tony Khan can have whoever he wants like once again, because for the longest time he could get all this talent because like Vince McMahon was just getting rid of all of these people that still had a lot of talent themselves, you know, like Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee and whoever, like whoever Tony wanted, he could just bring in. And then it seemed like Triple H was going to have, you know, an alternative, you know, like somebody like a Karrion Kross or, you know, they could go to WWE instead. And now if it's a freeze, you basically have one choice right now, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, especially too. I mean, this kind of goes into the next thing I was going to bring up. But not only do they have a hiring freeze, but there were reports tonight, I think also from PW Insider, that Vince McMahon was overhauling the Raw script tonight. So he's not there. He's not in Chicago, but he was apparently overhauling the script remotely. So, and I guess even Vince has learned how to use Zoom or something or Skype and has been able to now remotely meddle with Triple H's product. So all this talk that, oh, the WWE draft is going to be Triple H's vision from the draft forward. Yeah, I don't believe it for a second because the crazy old man doesn't seem like he's going to be willing to go away. Nothing's going to change. I hate to say it. I hate to be as just crass as this. Nothing's going to change until he's dead. He'll be on his hospital bed. And he'll be making changes to scripts.
Unless Endeavor kicks him out. I mean, that's the only other alternative.
And they don't seem willing to do that. I mean, it seems to me he feels empowered by this. It's the reason why he's back in the mix, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, they really went to great lengths to show, like, was it Ari Emanuel, I think, who was basically saying, like, oh, I wouldn't let Vince walk away. Like, he had to be a part of this. So it's certainly not encouraging that he'll step aside anytime soon. And as we've seen over the past 20 years, Vince McMahon, when he his product's not good. And it definitely got better over the past 9 months or so whenever Triple H came in. But whatever optimism I had, personally, completely gone. I mean, the product is – it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse in the coming months or years, however long Vince is going to be around.
100%. Yeah, I don't see it getting any better anytime soon. If he's going to keep meddling like this, and not only meddling, but meddling on Monday evening.
Oh, brutal. Yeah.
Like, these scripts have probably been done since late last week. Anytime, I mean, listen, Wade has interviewed members of the creative team plenty of times, and their stories are always pretty much the same in the sense that, you know, they have a script done by, like, Thursday or Friday. Everything's kind of finalized by Saturday. By Sunday, the show's done and ready to go, and then Vince makes his changes on Monday. It's no way to conduct business at all.
No.
You know, you got script rewrites happening on the fly while the show's going on. Like, it's just insane. But again, we're dealing with an insane person. Like, he's not a rational person at all. He thinks his mustache in dye job looks good. So, like, we're not talking about a rational human being here.
No. Oh, no. To put that, like, a hair dye on your mustache, on your face, and look like that, you're not a rational human being whatsoever. Yeah, I don't know anyone in my day-to-day life that looks that ridiculous as he does. And, I was just kind of thinking this. I mean, this is going to have an effect on AEW talent, like, going forward, because it's going to once again make wrestlers not want to go to WWE. Like, your character is going to be in much worse hands in WWE. And as Vince McMahon has shown, like, he would, like, cut people all the time. There's no, like, guarantee. So from a talent perspective and from like an entertainment perspective, this is really good news for Tony Khan. I mean, over the long haul, his product is going to be much better than WWE. Whereas recently you could make a case that WWE was the more entertaining promotion.
Yeah, in some respects, sure.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder, like, with a guy like Drew McIntyre. I assume he would be Drew Galloway again if he were to end up in AEW. But, I mean, there's kind of rumors that he may be on the outs and what's going to happen with him. And, I mean, he's a guy that I think would fit in perfectly with what Tony wants to do. Because Galloway has shown that he has been able to wrestle a certain style that I think would make him popular to an AEW audience.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to use that indie-style term, but, I mean, it's kind of what it is. But he had great matches in Evolve before he went back to WWE. He had great matches in NXT. Like, the guy's really good.
Yeah.
And he's whatever he is, 6'6", 6'7", looks like he's chiseled out of stone. Like, you know, he brings a UK audience along with him, and you're going to Wembley Stadium later on this summer. So, like, he brings a lot of things to the table, and clearly I don't think – he doesn't seem that he may be in WWE's plans moving forward. At least it didn't seem that way coming out of WrestleMania. Now there's reports that he may be done or he may be on the way out. He's a guy that I feel like Vince should be all about, just kind of given his look and everything else. But for whatever reason, you know, he isn't. And I know Vince pushed him, you know, the main event of WrestleMania a couple years ago. He was supposed to main event the COVID Mania there. It did, but it was supposed to be in front of a big stadium and all that other stuff. But it's like, this is what Vince McMahon does. Like, it goes in cycles. He uses a guy for a little bit. He thinks he's the next top guy, and then 6 months later, you're in 3MB again. And like, it's amazing how quickly he will go through guys.
Yeah, and I think Galloway is a really interesting one because I would love to see him in AEW. I think his character and impact was a lot more interesting and a lot more authentic than what he was doing in WWE. I mean, good for him. He did a good job, like, holding the company together during the pandemic era. But, man, he was so lame. I mean, it was hard for, I think, a lot of, like, adults to be like, wow, this guy's cool, because he was coming out with the stupid sword. He had, like, that story time thing, or he told these ridiculously stupid stories. He's not going to have to do that in AEW. He can be more of, like, himself again and not have to, like, carry a 20-foot sword around. So if you're him, you're going to say, you know, maybe WWE, if they're interested, they might give me more money, but creatively, I might be more fulfilled in AEW, and over the long term, that could help me out because I won't be a lame character for the next few years.
Exactly. Yeah, I would agree. We'll see what he has left for contracts. There hasn't really been any reporting out there on what he has left on the term of his deal or anything like that, but you never know. You never know.
Yeah.
All right. We actually are going to get to a phone call. Our very first phone call in probably 4 years. Yeah, I think – so AEW announced they launched in 19. So
– okay.
We were definitely – I'm guessing that we stopped covering Impact the end of 18.
Dang.
Or the beginning of 19. So that – yeah, it's been like – it's probably been 4 years.
So there's a lot of pressure on this call.
There is.
I mean, it's got to be good to kick things off.
We have a couple people on hold, but we have one person who has hit that number one and lets us know they want to get on the air. And again, if you want to jump in, 515-605-9345. If you want to call us next week after 9 p.m. Eastern, go right ahead. You don't even have to listen to the show. If you're just going, you know what, it's 9:15 on a Monday night, I'm watching Raw, I'm kind of bored, I want to talk about some AEW.
Yeah.
Just put the number in your phone, save the contact as Wrestling Geniuses, and call it up on Monday night, 515-605-9345, and you'll be able to talk to Andrew and I. And, okay, let's go. Like you said, a lot of pressure here. I don't know who this is, but a ton of pressure on area code 615. So 615, you're coming in hot here. What do we got? The pressure's on, I'm sorry to say.
Well, first I got to say, Mike and Andrew, I'm in company, good company right now. I'm getting to talk to you guys. This is Sean, BFP member from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I know you've probably heard me on a lot of the post shows anyway at some point or another. But
absolutely.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you guys. How are y'all doing tonight?
Oh, awesome. Doing good. Thanks.
I think we're back in the telephone business. It's nice.
It is nice. I got the email and I was like, oh, dude, Mike and Andrew are taking calls again. This is pretty cool. I like this. This is pretty nice. I get to hear you, you know, I've always enjoyed your show and I've listened to it. So I'm glad to be talking to y'all about, one quick WWE, because you're already talking about WWE. I'm not watching Raw live. I'm actually doing some other stuff. I'm actually at work. So I DVR Raw and go back and watch it when I get home. But so it won't be about Raw. I'm already worried about just what you've said. I'm kind of already nervous about what I'm going to see on Raw. I'm kind of scared. I hope it's decent, but we'll see. But my WWE question was going back, because I haven't heard you guys talk about when Cody lost to Roman. And that's kind of what I wanted to hear your thoughts on, is what they've done with Cody since he lost to Roman. Did you guys, you know, like that he lost to Roman at WrestleMania? Like, where they've gone? What do you think about it? Because I was okay either way. there was pros and cons both ways, of course. I'm more with Gray. I was more on the pro Cody should win because, you know, Cody had gotten to a point in this last year where he's gotten pretty hot. I mean, the fans are into him. They really enjoy him. I like him. You know, he's got his things. I've watched AEW. I know he did a lot of stuff in AEW that was like, okay, this is why the fans are turning on you. Like, I understood it. But in WWE, the fans are behind him. He's doing really well since he's come over. I think he should have won because I just don't know how, like Wade has talked about too, I don't know how much hotter he's going to get. I think that was the time to do it if you're going to do it. And Roman has been a great champion. His heel run has been great. We all wish it would have been a long time ago that he turned heel, but it didn't. Finally turned heel. It was great. He's been fantastic. You know, and now he's a part-timer for good reason, and that's fine. He's earned that right. But I think I really would have liked to have seen some good heels go against Cody as the champion, and I would have liked to have seen Roman. I know the Usos lost the titles, and that's fine. But I think I would have liked to see the Bloodline not have any titles. How would Roman react to not have the title? Like, where they would go? So what did you think about Cody not winning, and have you liked what they've done so far since the last few weeks after that?
I mean, Andrew, it's interesting, right? Because I think the fact that they're putting him in with Lesnar is still good. I mean, it's still like he's still being prominently featured. The title's not going to be on the Backlash show, so it makes sense that Cody's in that main event. But you and I talked about it a little bit right after Mania. Like, if not Cody at Mania, who? That did feel like the biggest – either Sammy in Montreal or Cody at Mania felt like the two biggest moments to take the belt off Roman. So if not either of those – then what's the plan? When are you going to do it? I don't know that right now they have a plan to do it, honestly. What do you think?
Yeah, I find it a problem the other way, though, because, like, if Cody wins after Lesnar, like, who does he fight? There's just so few, like, top-level heels, top-level faces, too, in the company. I think you have a problem either way. So they kind of just, like, went with what's been working, and maybe they think, like, hey, we can, you know, Cody's hot right now, but we can make this even bigger if he wins the title at, say, like, SummerSlam, or maybe they'll stretch it out to WrestleMania next year, which I think would be probably too long at that point. But another, like, thing now is, like, I don't think it's going to matter as much, sadly, because they just introduced, like, that new title. Like, is Cody going to go for that? And if, like, and if he's not dethroning Roman, you know, I mean, he could, but sure, there's still another world championship out there. So it's not as, sadly, I think, as big of a deal. So, I don't want to, like, wuss out, but I agree. I think you could have gone either way. I would have probably voted for Roman retaining and try to keep Cody hot a few more months and then have him win at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I just feel like, and no matter what you do, you want it to have a big reaction, right? And the worst thing you could do is have Reigns be champion for 3 years, 1,000 days, whatever it's going to be, and then have him get beat and have it just be silent because nobody cared, you know. And I think you would have had a huge moment, a huge reaction if you did it with Sammy in Montreal. You would have had a huge reaction if you did it with Cody at Mania. And now, like, you'll probably still get a pretty big reaction no matter what. But you now run the risk of, like, at what point do fans start to feel a little disinvested because, well, like, you pulled the wool over my eyes a couple of times here already. Well, not, maybe people didn't really expect it with Sammy, but everybody expected it with Cody at Mania.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I just feel like you got to strike when the iron's hot, and they didn't do that. So Cody just – he felt like he was ready to take that step. As much as Andrew and I think have been critical of him in the way that he sometimes conducts himself – you know, it did feel like that was the logical next step to take, and would have had this massive reaction at WrestleMania in this moment that never, you know, would have been forgotten and everything else. And I just don't know what you could possibly come up with later on that's going to feel bigger than that.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something we could look back a year or two from now and just be like, that was idiotic that they didn't go with Cody. Like, that was his moment, and he was never as hot again, and it would have made so much sense, but... I don't know. But we'll see. We'll see. I think that's definitely possible, though.
I'm with you guys, too. I you know, and like I said, that's the thing about that match was, you know, you could go either way, and there's definitely stories you could tell on both sides, which is good. I mean, that's a good problem to have. And I think, you know, again, Roman with the title, there's nothing wrong with that per se. It's just kind of, you know, now who is going to do it? And I think Cody will still do it because, like you guys were saying, I don't think there's anybody else that can do it at this point. I don't see anybody else that's built up enough that would have any – there'd be any believability other than Sammy, which I think Sammy's kind of going his own way right now, which is, you know, which is okay. You know, would I have loved to see Sammy win the title? Absolutely, I would have loved it because Sammy was over big time too and still is. But, you know, now him and KO are telling their story, and that's fine. But I wanted to switch to AEW because I did have a question for you guys. I've heard you guys, you know, definitely talk about it. And there's a lot of stuff to talk about with CM Punk. You could talk all day on that. And, you know, and I'm just on the camp of I would not bring him back. And I love CM Punk. I'm going into this thing. I love CM Punk. I've always enjoyed him in the ring, on the mic. I've always enjoyed what he does, what he brings. But I just think there's too much baggage now at this point. With the injury things going on, when he comes back, he gets hurt. That's an issue. There's other things going on where if it was me, I wouldn't do it. I know why Tony wants to do it, and it's fine. But I think, again, there's so many issues with that. But that's a whole other thing. But I wanted to ask you guys about the women's division in AEW because I have not enjoyed it at all. For I think Jamie Hayter is doing a really good job. I like Jamie Hayter. I was very kind of iffy on Jamie at first. I was like, you know, she's getting over. The fans like her, but I'm not – you know, seeing anything, but the more she's wrestled, I really do like her in the ring. I think she's better on the mic and she's gone along. I just think this Outcast against Homegrown, I just think the storyline is dumb in my opinion. I'm not getting anything out of it. I think it's hurting. I mean, Ruby turned heel. It's fine. It is what it is. Tony's just kind of there. The spray paint stuff is stupid. Stop with the NWO, back to that spray paint. I'm not into that. I think Saraya, yeah, she lost steam when she came back, but now she's just kind of a third wheel, and she's doing nothing for me. Her facial expressions, especially last week, were over the top. I didn't care for them. So where do you think they're going with the women's division as far as the title? Like, I mean, there's plenty of time to tell who's going to, you know, fight for the title because they still have another month till the pay-per-view, but I don't know. They're going in a bad direction to me for the women's division. I don't feel like anybody's hot other than Jamie. Britt, I feel, is – and I wanted to go to the Britt thing, too, because they did the thing with Adam Cole, her and, you know, her getting beat up in front of Cole last week, and I thought that was – it was okay. I just think Britt's in a weird spot. So what do you think they've done with the women's division as a whole in AEW, and, like, what do you think of the Outcast story and what they've done with it so far?
Yeah, Andrew, I don't know what you think here. I thought that the beginning of that story was done really well. However, here we are a couple of months later, and it's still the same thing. Like, it hasn't really evolved at all, other than they've introduced a couple of other people, but it's really been – it doesn't feel like that storyline has advanced very much since it started. And that, to me, is where I think it's starting to lose connection with some people. And one of the side effects of that is there hasn't really been a lot of focus on the title at all. So,
yeah,
you know,
true.
I almost wonder going into the pay-per-view, like, is it even going to be a title match, or is it going to be some sort of blood and guts match, some sort of, you know, eight-woman tag, or, like, what exactly is the match going to be at the pay-per-view? Because they haven't really put any focus on the championship.
That's a good question. I would have guessed Saraya, but they haven't been really, like, building that up specifically between those two. But yeah, I agree with both of you guys. Like, this, it seems like it should be working. Like, if you had pitched this idea a few months ago, it's like, oh yeah, the former WWE talent getting together and kind of running roughshod through the AEW originals. Like, that could be a fun storyline, but I think, you know, if you compare it to, like, the NWO, like, what the NWO had going for it is they felt dangerous. Like, they took over shows, they beat the crap out of everyone, like, entire shows were, like, revolved around them just destroying people left and right, and nobody could do anything about it. Like, Ruby Riott, Saraya, and Toni Storm, like, do not feel dangerous. And I agree with, like, Saraya, she was just having, like, cartoonish facial expressions and just running around the ring screaming. And it's like, is this really, like, the badass person from, you know, who is a part of the women's revolution, or is she just, like, being silly? So... yeah, I'm not quite. Oh, so apologies. I have a train coming through it. But, it's not quite doing it for me either. And I would guess they're doing Saraya, but they really got to get a lot of heat
to make that worthwhile.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, anything else, sir?
Oh, yeah. One more quick thing, and then I'll get off and let you talk about it as I get off. But I wanted to – going back to the women's division as far as AEW, on the other side with Jade, like, I'm a fan of Jade. I really like Jade. I think there's a lot of upside there. I think, you know, in the ring, you know, she hasn't come along maybe as quickly as I thought. But, again, she hasn't been able to, like, go against each other. And, like, her streak has just been beat a bunch of, quote-unquote, no-name people. And I feel like this thing with Taya will – I mean, it can help her. I mean, I don't – like, I guess my question is, what do you think they've – I think they've done a terrible job booking Jade. People say – I've heard a lot of people say it's on Jade. I don't think it's on Jade. I think the booking has just been kind of lackluster. And I want Jade to do something big because I think there's so much upside with her. And I just think the two titles in the AEW was – I mean, they have too many titles anyway. I mean, you guys have known this for a long time. But the TBS title just means nothing right now. And the Jade streak has just gone by. She's on Rampage. She's not on Dynamite, like, hardly ever. So what do you think how do you think they've done with Jade? Like, do you think that Taya might beat her and then just try to do something else with her and maybe build Jade back up at some point? Like, how do you think they've done with Jade so far? And where do you think they're going with her? And that's really all I had. And Mike and Andrew, I hope I've served you well in some way, shape or form. I hope I've done okay, you know, for kind of leading the show off.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you guys, what you do for the Torch, and thank you guys for taking my call.
You bet. Anytime. Yeah, home run first call.
Home run.
That's
it's
going to
be,
we're
back trivia someday. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The Jade thing is kind of funny because it kind of mirrors the women's storyline on Dynamite that we just talked about, where it feels like it's just going and
mm-hmm.
going.
Yes.
And there's really no... It's a story that had a beginning, has not yet hit the middle, and I have no idea what the end is going to be. And I'm not sure that Tony knows either, because they've been doing the same thing with Jade for what feels like it's been a year. It's been over a year. And it just seems like it's the same thing week after week, which is fine in some respects when you're trying to build her up. But yeah, I think something's got to change there. They've got to do something to freshen up the approach. You can still continue to do the same thing and have her continue her streak and have her continue to win, but you need to do it against, I don't know, a different caliber of talent, I guess. And the caveat to that would be, Andrew, if you don't think she's good enough to have a good match, then at some point you have to say, we're taking the title off of you because you're not good enough to have a good match.
I would say it's been terrible. The storyline overall. And I don't blame Jade. I think she has it, and not a lot of people in wrestling have it. There's just something like,
yeah,
that draws you to her. I think she is, yeah, and she's not good in the ring, but she has something that just about almost nobody else does, or the vast majority of wrestlers don't, I think. But
no, I agree. And look, you don't have to have 5-star matches. Like,
no,
that's
like,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
like,
okay.
Yeah.
She's a unique talent that, you know, WWE doesn't really have anybody that looks like her or is presented like her. Like, she's different. I agree with you. There's an it factor there. And you can have a nice career having 2.5-star matches with a great look. Like, that,
yeah.
There's an appetite for everybody on the show. Like, to me, it gets boring when as much as I love watching good matches, don't get me wrong, but a bunch of wrestlers that look alike having the same match over and over and over again 8 times on a card can get boring after a while. Like, there's a definite place for her.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, the closest comparison, I guess, would be, like, Goldberg. You know, he's never, you know, became a good wrestler. I mean, he was there from, like, through all his runs, he probably had 5 good matches in his entire career. But he was over like crazy, and I think, you know, they got a lot out of him. I just feel like, go back to the storylines for a bit. Like, it was so... Nothing ever really happened, or it was so similar. Say, like, Kira Hogan was in the baddies. Then they started feuding and left. They did the same thing with Red Velvet. Her manager left the group, and then he came back, and none of it was good. I mean, there was no reason to make it overly complicated. You could just have Jade just pick, like, her 3 baddies. They're by her side. They worship her. They think she's the best.
But they started like feuding with each other right away, and then they did it again. So I just wanted to bring that up, that I don't think that's been very effective. And then the question about Ty, I don't think Ty is going to win. I think that would be a big mistake to have that happen. I like Taya, but I think probably, you don't want to bring in like a former, I guess, NXT wrestler or Impact wrestler and have her be your top star from the past couple of years.
Well, here's my other question, though. If it happened on Rampage, would anybody even know?
That would be amazing. like it already happened.
Like, it would be a good test for Tony to have it happen on Rampage, never acknowledge it on Dynamite, and then next week have Jade come out with a belt again like nothing ever happened, and see if anybody even notices.
Yeah. I wouldn't notice. I just realized again today, I'm trying to get better at being like, okay, Saturdays or Sunday, I need to watch Rampage because we're recording this on Mondays, and I completely forgot once again to watch Rampage. So I will maybe do that later tonight.
Okay, up next, 1-1-1. That usually, so 1-1-1, if I remember correctly, Andrew, either means an international call or it means that it's someone calling in using Skype. So this is kind of like, this is cool. This is kind of like a mystery call.
Mystery call, I like it.
So we have mystery partners. Well, this is a mystery caller. Ready? Caller, you're up next, mystery caller. If it loads, there it is, it loads. Mystery caller, you're up next.
Hey guys, it's Wellington. Just wanted to say hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. We haven't talked for a while, and I haven't called any PW Torch shows like in a couple of years, so I decided to give you a call.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
See, this is the power of the All Elite Action Show.
the wrestling geniuses.
It's a good name for a show. We may have to rebrand it.
Yeah, let's trademark that one.
how are things? I guess it's been a while since we've talked, especially if it's been a couple of years, like you said, since you've called in any show.
Yeah, I just wanted to assure you that whatever happened to your email last week, I had nothing to do with it.
I am back in back in the email, so we'll get to a couple in a bit. That's good to know, because
yes,
I was locked out, but luckily it was all solved. Google saved us here.
Maybe I need to have like an investigation on the ground to figure out something.
We want names.
Like a reporter on the scene. I like that. Yeah. I don't want you to get in trouble, though. That's the thing. I don't want anybody to get in trouble. We weren't making any accusations, but something was happening with our email. Luckily, the fabulous people at Google took care of it.
Yeah, you're still my favorite breakfast podcast.
Oh, there you go. See, I didn't know that. 8 a.m.
Yeah.
So it's 8 a.m. You're ahead, must be, right? So it's 8 a.m. Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, crazy. Okay.
So we are actually, Andrew, we're in the future.
I think so, yeah. That makes sense.
This is pretty great. Have you been watching a lot of wrestling or keeping up with stuff?
I mostly keep up with it through different podcasts like PW Torch shows and others. You know, I think all the wrestling companies outside of Impact basically leave Russia for obvious reasons. Probably Impact still airs here, I'm not sure, because they're like on a small network, and I don't think they care that much.
I see. Okay. What about, like, curious with this, in terms of WWE's product in, like, AEW, so in terms of, let's say, Raw and Dynamite, or SmackDown and Dynamite, which one airs on the bigger network, or does AEW even have television in Russia, or is it still just Fight?
No, they never did. They blocked it on Fight for Russia. They did like a geo block last year, but they never aired on TV. We only had WWE and Impact on TV, and Impact was on a small network.
I see. Okay. Because I know, like, in every country, it's different. I know, I think at one point, Andrew, you and I talked about this, but I think at one point in the year, it might even be as it is now, in the UK, like AEW is on the bigger network than WWE in the UK. It's just like the way that the television deals worked out. So that's curious. So I didn't realize that. So you actually have never had the AEW product available.
Only through Fight, like for the first couple.
Through
of
Fight.
Years.
Oh, okay, okay.
Because
the first couple.
Yes.
Years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, WWE were like the only one who was having like the real presence because they were airing on pretty big network, and Raw and SmackDown were in live for a couple of years. It's happening now, but I think WWE were pretty much the only ones who did something.
Yeah. That's interesting, too. So when they were airing live, they must have been airing, like, just as we are now, first thing in the morning, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why during COVID I was a pretty regular caller to the post shows because I was watching it in the morning, not having to go outside. I was just watching Raw and SmackDown and call afterwards.
Hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know. That'd be so weird to wake up first thing in the morning and have wrestling on. It's just, I guess, when you're so used to having it on, you know, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night or whatever, to have it on live first thing in the morning, it'd be kind of cool. I was, like, watching that. I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago, but that Japan show that WWE did one summer. Like,
oh,
the first summer
yeah.
They had the network was on at, like, 6 a.m. I remember waking up and watching that, like, having a cup of coffee. It was interesting.
Is wrestling popular in Russia? I mean, do you know, like, other people that watch it as well, or is it like, since it's at a weird time or a different time, is that like a very niche product?
It's a niche product. It was big like 20 years ago on TV during like the late Monday Night War era, because the first company we got here was WCW, because Turner Network was like half of owner of a big local network. I think I ever watched was WCW Nitro, and then another network got WWF like maybe in 2000, like the late Monday Night War era. So we have WCW and WWE, then WWE only, then WWE's contract finished up, and the other network got TNA like in 2004, five-ish, something like that. And then WWE returned in 2010. They had a couple of house shows there, but it was like 10 years ago.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting.
I didn't know that.
Oh, that's really cool. All right. Well, hey, we appreciate the call. If, like I said, if we're first thing in the morning for you, right? Maybe be a regular caller. We would love to have another regular caller back in the fold. So it was good to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys so much. You know, I'm listening every week.
Awesome.
Appreciate it. Well, see, Andrew, we are connecting worlds here. We international callers. I mean, this has been a home run first couple of calls, like I said. I'm very excited by this.
You know, it was, what was it, like two episodes ago was our most abrasive episode of the past ever. I was like, we headed into tonight. Is it going to be, you know, us arguing? Is it going to get heated? But no, it's been very pleasant so far. So, yeah.
I've been very pleased. Okay. Yeah. We do have a couple of emails. Like I said, we're back into those, so we can get those in a second. If you are still on the line and want to give us a call, 515-605-9345. We'll try to squeeze in a couple of rapid-fire calls right at the end. Let's go first in the emails quickly to Jay in South Carolina. He's got a couple of things. We'll hit on them quickly, and then we'll go to $5 challenges to wrap up the show because we're already almost an hour into this thing. Jay said he had planned on calling in this evening, but he's a bit sick and very sleepy, so he's going to go to bed instead, and he says he knows that I would approve. Yes, I do.
Feel better, Jay.
I approve going to bed when you don't feel good. I've just got three questions, comments. Number one, is Triple H's huge announcement just mocking Tony Khan's semi-frequent announcements? Surely, we already know what it is now. It's a new World Heavyweight Championship. But Jay says, surely it'll be something interesting, or does Hunter just want to prove that his special announcement will get better ratings than Tony's special announcement? Or is this actually a Vince McMahon announcement via Triple H? Will it be better than this week's less hyped Tony announcement? There's another Tony announcement this week?
It's weird how they're hyping this one. It's like Tony has
Well, I think they're doing like, we'll hear from Tony Khan, something like that. It's not like major announcement.
They're being coy about it. Like, hey,
yeah,
we're going to hear from Tony.
Maybe this is like the official Forbidden Door announcement. I don't know if they've done that yet on air, so maybe it'll just be something
I don't think they have, so that would be.
Yeah, that's a couple months away, so maybe just something like that.
Jay says here, they're really screwing up a pretty easy, straightforward story with the three other pillars vying to challenge MJF for the title. Making a three-person tournament is ridiculous. It's not a tournament. It's two matches. I'm sure they're still heading for a four-way, but they're taking a needlessly complicated path to get there. Do you think they're going to end up with a four-way, or do you think they are going to close this out with a one-on-one match?
Yeah, this has been bad. I think they're still going to do a four-way because I'm guessing like MJF helped Sammy win, and then Tony Connor, they're just like, all right, we can't do that. We can't let that happen. So we're going back, and it's going to be a four-way. Because I just don't think you could – I don't think Darby Allin versus MJF is, like, big enough, or Jungle Boy versus MJF if he somehow got back into it. Or, I mean, Sammy Guevara, I mean, MJF doesn't – that's not a big one either. So, yeah, I think they're going to go back to all four to – I think it's the only one that feels big enough. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so, too. That seems like the biggest match. I don't know. I just don't know. Who do you eliminate and why? You need a reason to eliminate those people.
Yeah. It's such a messy storyline, too. That was a rough week last week, I think, for the show overall.
Jay also says it took him longer than usual, but Taya Valkyrie going up against Jade for the TBS title. She's been good here and elsewhere, but is she the one to take the title from Jade? I assume not. I just hope it doesn't slide her down to dark purgatory following her likely loss. That said, is the person who finally beats Jade currently on the roster. So that we talked a little bit about earlier, but yeah, is the person that's going to ultimately beat Jade currently on the AEW roster? That's a good question.
I was on Wade's show maybe like 2 months ago, and a similar question was up. And at the time I pitched, I'm not pitching this person specifically because I think it would be a terrible idea. But I think you just want like someone the fans like, but they always lose, and you could do like a Razor Ramon 1-2-3 Kid type moment where you just like suddenly push them into a bigger role. I'm blanking on her name. Blue? What's her name?
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Not her, but someone of her type where fans like, you know, she's been around for a while. She's getting a little better. Kind of like run with something like that. I am blanking on her name. That would be kind of my pitch, but otherwise, I don't think you couldn't do somebody like a Ruby Riott or Britt Baker. Like, this wouldn't make a lot of sense. What do you think?
I don't really know. I think that they probably – well, here's the thing. As we kind of said earlier, I don't know that they know what they're going to do.
I would be very surprised if there was a plan in mind at this time.
Like, if you asked Tony right now if he knew what he was going to do, I don't think he had would have a plan for you.
Wait, her name. That's her name. I'm like trying to Google it. This is embarrassing. Anyway, sorry.
That's okay. It happens to the best of us. It happens to me every week. Jose from Golden Valley, again, I'm kind of skimming through these emails quickly. There are some $5 challenges in there, which we will get to in a second.
Nice.
The Young Bucks working themselves into thinking they're stars on Punk's level is hilarious. This is Jose from Golden Valley. A level of self-indulgence not seen since Shane Douglas said that the feud with Ric Flair could turn WCW business around overnight. back in the PWG days, the Bucks faced Roderick Strong and Brian Danielson in a tag team tourney final. The Reseda locals hated the Bucks and booed them all night. The match was laid out for the Bucks to take a beating and gain sympathy with the crowd. Love seeing the California surfer clowns take a beating. The Bucks won the match and were both left with welts, working yourselves into a shoot because the fans hate you and won't cheer you, and then being disappointed in them because of it. That's what the Young Bucks are doing here, yeah. When the Bucks tell this story, they do their best Hogan exaggeration and talk about how close to death they were. They act as if Roddy and Brian are Ken Shamrock and Steve Blackman, legit shooters taking liberties. What's funnier is that in the Young Bucks book, Brandon Cutler allegedly threatened to almost run in the ring and shoot on Brian Danielson to protect the Bucks in PWG. Sure. Sure, he would have cracked like glass with one Danielson chop. Brandon Cutler is what Beefcake was to Hulk. You're there because your pals are there, getting that paycheck and taking TV time from other wrestlers who should be on TV.
Yeah,
the whole Brandon Cutler thing is a very weird deal.
Yeah, I would say it's even worse than Beefcake, because Beefcake, I think, had something. You know, he's getting, like, the dream team.
Okay, Chad in Nebraska says, first, I'm resending the video since the Russians hacked your email last week. I'm going to send this to you later. He has a video of a potential ghost sighting.
Oh, geez.
He says, this is from a while ago. I was actually able to get into our Ring doorbell to download it. My oldest got home from a pool party, and she went to go plug in her hoverboard, and instantly she said she felt scared like someone was watching her. That's why you see her run up the stairs. You will see almost like a mist in the middle about 8 seconds in, and then randomly a few orbs. Granted, it could be anything. Now I'm on board. I think it's crazy here. We got some happenings there at Chad's house.
Yeah, I'd love to see this. I'm freaked out already, but
I will forward this to you momentarily.
Please do.
Let's see here. I'm kind of scanning through the rest of the email. We'll get to the $5 challenges soon. He does say he thinks Bryan Danielson's career is going to have more heel and face turns than the Big Show. That's hard to do.
He'd have to wrestle like another 10 years to do that, but he's done three in like 2 years, so it's possible.
Yeah, it's true. PCO is going to challenge Macklin in Under Siege. He's talking about Impact now, and that could be a fun, hard-hitting match that is a good opponent for Macklin to go through with Nick Aldis waiting in the wings for him. I won't lie, I'm hoping Rob Terry comes out to save Aldis whenever Macklin attacks him. We do know Scott D'Amore listens to this show with Ernest the Cat Miller randomly popping up on Impact. Yes, he absolutely does. So if he does, we know who's coming in next.
If Rob Terry shows up and like main events the next show, we're going to have to go to that.
Right.
Two-piece fans. Also, I just need to say it is Sky Blue. I don't know what I typed in, like Sky Blue and vodka came up. So then I second-guessed myself, but it is Sky Blue. Just need to say that because everyone was probably thinking I'm an idiot.
That's okay. I didn't think you were an idiot. I knew what we were getting.
Oh, that's nice. Very nice of you.
Okay, well, that's for email. So, Andrew, do you know what it is time for?
I have a feeling that I do.
$5 challenge.
Yes.
Here we go. All right. Let's go first to Jay in South Carolina. We're going to go back to Jay. Jay's got the theme of themes is his theme of his $5 challenges every single week. Let's play, as soon as I can scroll to it and find it here. Let's get to it's not loading. Why is it not loading?
Oh, no.
All the other audio loaded just fine. And now this I'm having an issue with.
Oh, gosh.
Well, that's not what I meant to do.
That's an interesting. I don't remember that theme.
That's not what I meant to do at all. I'm trying to.
Simon Dean.
All right. We're going to have to go back to Jay's in a moment. Hopefully that audio uploads so that we can play it. Let's then start with Jay in South Carolina's $5 challenge. He says, I will have to retreat to the mainstream again, but I will say the $10 challenge was adopted from the wrestling CD album phase of Burned Out Quickly. Also, Mike, you always did Andrew dirty on those by off the bat saying, I know some, and then only list one. And then when Andrew said, I thought you said you know some, Mike would backpedal and said he only knew one. Is that what happened on those?
Did you do me dirty?
I guess I did. Okay. Number one, what famous TV character ordered TNA Lockdown 2006 and sat through Christian Cage versus Abyss Six Sides of Steel world title match?
A famous TV character?
Maybe on a show he ordered TNA Lockdown?
Wow. So a show from 2006? I mean, I would just say something random like Family Guy, even though it's cartoon. That is not ringing any bells.
I have absolutely no idea.
Well, New Girl, was that something on around that time? Or
the only show I can think of that I was watching in 2006 was 24.
To Jack Bauer?
The Jack Bauer show. I don't think Jack Bauer watching TNA Lockdown, though.
He's like, hold on, I got to watch this match. Yeah, I don't even know the characters of New Girl.
Homer Simpson?
Yeah, we can do Homer Simpson.
Homer Simpson. Go.
Yeah.
Go Homer Simpson. I really have no idea. So no, Homer Simpson.
I'm going to be surprised, whoever it is.
Number two, what former world champion voiced the Beast from the Telltale's Game of Thrones 2014 video game?
Oh, I've played this game.
Former world champion voiced the Beast, then. I'm going to put you here.
Damn, I have this game for the PlayStation Vita. I don't recall it being a wrestler. They must have fooled me. Batista? This is a total guess, though.
Batista sounds good to me.
I'm gonna be disappointed.
It would make sense because he was also trying to get into acting and stuff like that. So
yeah, I'm just picturing somebody growly.
Yeah.
But.
Number three, Steve Austin appeared in what 2013 comedy film?
This is not looking good for us.
No.
The Hangover 3? 2? I haven't seen 2 or 3.
I don't think he was in either of those. The only comedy movie that I can think of that Steve Austin was in was he played that like redneck character in the Adam Sandler Grown Ups sequel.
Oh, Grown Ups 2?
Yeah, yes. Because he fought like Adam Sandler's character in that movie.
Did
I have no
idea.
I don't think so. I have no idea if that was out in 2013, but I remember him being in that movie and it was a comedy movie. So
yeah, let's go with that.
So that's the only thing I can think of. Number four, Kane made a guest appearance on what CW series in 2007? I don't know that I can name a CW series from 2007.
Smallville.
Okay.
But he seems like somebody Superman might fight.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Number five, what color commentator appeared in the 2019 film A Madea Family Funeral?
You're a pretty big Madea fan, aren't you?
I've seen them all dozens of times. I have no idea.
Commentator. I mean, I guess it's got to be like either Lawler or... It's not, I doubt it's Excalibur. Or Siobhan.
I don't know.
Or Taz. Maybe Taz.
Maybe Taz.
Do you go with Taz? I mean, I don't think it's like Nigel McGuinness.
I can't imagine it was Nigel McGuinness either.
Or Aiden English. Or Matt Stryker. No, he did play-by-play Vampiro from Lucha Underground.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I
don't even know.
Taz? That'd be my guess. It's not a good guess, but it's a guess.
Yeah, Taz sounds, I mean, it's the closest I could get to it. Okay, let's see how we do here. Number one, what famous TV character ordered TNA Lockdown in 2006? We said Homer Simpson. No, it was not Homer Simpson. It was a Dr. Gregory House.
Oh, from the show House. Wow.
I imagine. Okay. Number That's two, fun. What former world champion voiced the Beast in the Game of Thrones 2014 video game? We said Batista. It was Samoa Joe, apparently.
Oh, I do know he did. Okay, I knew he did some video game voiceovers, but I forgot that one, so I don't feel good about that one.
Grown Ups 2 was the movie.
Yes.
That Steve Austin was in. Did not know it was 2013, just the only comedy movie I could think of that he was in. Let's see. Smallville was the movie, the show that Kane made a guest appearance on, so you were right on that one.
How about that?
And it was not Taz who was in the Madea Family Funeral. It was David Otunga.
Oh,
so a non-active color commentator.
He's an actor, so that makes sense.
That does make sense. That does make sense. Okay. Chad in Nebraska has a $5 challenge. He says, $77 challenge, joking, $5 challenge. And he says, half points are always acceptable with him.
Yes, love it. Thank you.
Okay. Number one, Sonny Siaki was part of the Flying Elvises when he joined TNA. Who were the other two members of that group?
Jorge Estrada and Amazing Red. No. Who's the other? Was it Red? It's somebody that was good. I'm going to say Amazing Red. Do you know?
I don't. I don't, and I'm concerned that you knew that so quickly.
It's a problem, yeah.
Number two, what famous game show did Sonny Siaki and his family appear on?
Family Feud?
Makes sense. What else would it be?
His it wouldn't be Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy.
It would have to be Family Feud.
Or Double Dare.
Number three, sadly, Lance Hoyt teamed with Chris Candido in his last match at Lockdown 05 before he sadly passed away against Sonny Siaki in what wrestling?
I'm not laughing about the death. I'm laughing about Siaki coming up again. Apollo? I think him and Siaki might have been a. Well, maybe I'm just like coming up with fan fiction in my head, and that Apollo and Sonny Siaki were on a team, but thinking of Apollo.
Yeah, me too. I like it. Number four, what wrestling program did Sonny Siaki make his first televised wrestling match on? What wrestling program did Sonny Siaki make his first televised wrestling match in 1999 against Alan Funk?
What's the question?
So Sonny Siaki made his televised wrestling debut in 1999 against Alan Funk. What was the program that match aired on?
Thunder?
Yeah.
And Alan Funk was Kiwi?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Number five, Sonny Siaki won the Deep South Tag Team title belts in WWE developmental territory Deep South Wrestling with what tag team partner?
No idea. Rob Terry?
Rob Terry. I love it. Rob Terry.
Okay. I think we got 5 for 5 on this one.
So the Flying Elvises were...
Or was it Jimmy Wang Yang?
Jimmy Yang and Jorge Estrada.
Yes! Does that count?
Well, a half point counts. Because we had Jorge Estrada in Amazing Red.
Oh, but I just, yeah. Oh, but, I just said it under my breath.
Yeah, Chad's okay with half points. He says
I was going to switch him out for, yeah, so that's a definite half.
Sonny Siaki and his family appeared on what game show? It was Family Feud. How could it not be? There's only one family game show. I mean, it wasn't Double Dare.
Yeah.
Oh, what did we... I didn't write down what we had for number three. Was it Apollo?
Yeah, Apollo.
That he teamed with facing Lance Hoyt. It was Apollo. Wow, look at that.
Are you serious?
100%. It was Apollo.
Wow.
What wrestling program did Sonny Siaki make his debut? We had Thunder. It was Saturday Night, so that was not correct.
Dang.
And it was not Rob Terry, who was his partner in Deep South. It was Eric Perez, a.k.a. Eric Escobar.
Oh, man. Isn't he the guy that only showed up? He showed up with, like, Vicky Guerrero for, like, 2 episodes of SmackDown and then disappeared? Is that the guy?
I think so, yeah. So that's 2.5.
Take it. The Siakalypse.
The Siakalypse. Yeah. I like it. Let's see. Let's go. So that one's done. That one's done. Chad's is done. That's all for the emails that have come in this week. So those are the $5 challenges that have come in for this week. Other than Jay's. And Jay's, for whatever reason, Jay, I apologize, I can't get the audio to load. So we're going to have to get to Jay's next week, and I can see if I can figure out what's going on with the audios. Because obviously the $5 challenge, the theme loaded, but for whatever reason, I can't get his audio to load. So, Andrew... that is all I got, unless you have something else that you need to contribute to the show.
Yes, we do. We got a very special live call-in episode themed. I'm rambling here. $5 challenge. You got one more if you got it in you.
Oh, I got it. Of course I do. Yeah, I'm ready for it.
And the theme tonight is calls. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay.
Question number one, what was the old WCW hotline number?
Ooh, it was definitely a 900 number. I actually think I remember WWF's, ironically enough.
Oh, interesting.
WCW, I'm going to go with 1-900.
Okay.
See, I'm going to rip off what I think WWF's was. 1-900-737-4WCW.
4WCW. All right.
I think WWE's is 1-900-737-4WWF.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know if they did it exactly the same or not.
Question number two for calls. Somebody better call my mama and ask her this question. How many televised matches did Ernest Miller have in WWE? Two. You were very assertive about that. Interesting.
Two. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's correct, but I mean, I'm going to go with two.
Number three. Who threw Call in Jost out of the Andre the Battle Andre the Giant Battle Royale at WrestleMania 35? SNL fame.
Was it both of them?
One. Well, yeah, who threw him out? Yeah.
Who threw who out?
Who threw Colin Jost?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. They were all over someone in the buildup to that. I don't remember who it was. I think it was Braun Strowman. That's who they were kind of like digging at, leading up to. I'm going to go with Braun Strowman, yeah.
Braun Strowman, question number four. In 2008, Vince McMahon's Million Dollar Mania saw him call fans for a chance to win some of his money. What was the password for night one?
I think it's something simple and stupid and just like Raw.
Do you want to go with Raw?
I want to go with Raw. I remember when I did that stupid promotion. Oh, my God.
So I was really struggling with this call theme, so this last one's ridiculous, but bear with me. Which WWE superstar joined Carly Rae Jepsen of Call Me Maybe fame for an anti-bullying concert in Las Vegas?
Oh, my God. It would have to be Titus O'Neil.
It's just got to be.
It's got to be.
Okay. Locked in? Anything you want?
I think I'm locked in.
Locked in. Okay, well, tonight you did very well. You got two right.
Okay.
Number one, what was the old WCW hotline number? Try to picture Mean Gene Okerlund saying this. It is 1-900-909-9900.
Oh, I can picture that now, yeah.
How many televised matches did Ernest Miller have in WWE? You guessed two. You're 100% correct. It was two.
I was very assertive on that too as well.
You were. That's why I was like, oh, man, you really know his career. He was in a Royal Rumble, and then he was in a SmackDown Royal Rumble the following episode, and then he was never seen again on main TV. Who threw Colin Jost out of the Andre the Giant Battle Royal? You were correct. It was Braun Strowman. They had been like getting his goat for a few weeks before that. What was the password for night one of Vince McMahon's Million Dollar Mania? You were on the right track for something stupid and easy. You said Raw. It was WWE Universe.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and then my dumb question, which WWE superstar joined Carly Rae Jepsen of calling maybe fame for an anti-bullying costume in Las Vegas? Great guess of Titus O'Neil, but it was actually the Celtic Warrior, Sheamus.
Yeah, okay, I can see that. That would make sense.
Yeah.
I just threw it, that would make sense, yeah.
I mean, there's pictures of them together online if you want to see. They're not dating or anything. They're there. I took a photo. Maybe they dated. Actually, that'd be interesting.
Well, Andrew, I think this was a successful night one.
I think so too. Maybe we were a little rusty, but we'll maybe not. Maybe it was a home run for everyone, and if not, we'll get better. Come back.
I think we'll be fine. I liked it. I liked it. I liked the flow. I think it was all good. So
yeah.
All right, Andrew, where else can people find you?
You can check me out on the Unexpected Storytelling Podcast. I've been saying this for like 2 months, but we're working on new episodes, but we are actually working on a script, so that's moving forward. So, yeah, hopefully in a few weeks here, we will have a new one. In the meantime, 50-plus episodes, the Unexpected Storytelling Podcast.
You can find me on Twitter at Torch McMahon. You can call into the show next week, 515-605-9345. You can also email the show, alleliteaftershow@gmail.com. Andrew, this was a very good night one. I'm looking forward to night two a week from now, so be sure to check us out. If you're not listening to us live at the moment and you want to, Monday night, 9 Eastern, the links will be all over the place. And if you just want to give us a call, it's 515-605-9345. Until then, for Andrew, I'm Mike. We'll talk to you then. Bye. Cool.